And with Andrew Saville and Guy Havelt this Monday morning. Guys, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very well.
I'm very glad to hear it. Guy, can I start with you? I saw you at the Black Clash and, wow, what a great night that looked, even though, personally, I think it's a bit silly.
it was absolutely fantastic. It's just amazing, really, to see guys from different sports and, you know, the rugby guys as well, able to swing a cricket bat. So, I mean, look at Kieran Reid. What did he get? 80-something not out. He was absolutely outstanding at the top. And then you bring guys in like Shane Bond, who I think any time Shane Bond bowls, no matter if it's 80% of what he used to be able to do or 50% or whatever it was, just seeing that famous action again roll the arm over was pretty special. Look, the cricketers, I think, probably at times take the foot off the gas a bit and let Team Rugby back into it to make it a contest. But I can tell you when it was Shane Bond against Brendan McCullum, there was absolutely none of that going on. That was full intensity. And when McCullum ramped Shane Bond for six, I don't think the fast bowler was too happy about that.
But that was a fantastic shot, though.
Wasn't it? Brilliant. Yeah, it was outstanding. So, yeah, no, it's just a great night of fun, really, and I think that's all what it's honestly about.
Pretty sad, Sav, though, that will be, by the looks of it, our last crowd for quite a while.
Yeah, that and the Auckland Marathon yesterday. It's a real shame. Events are being obviously cancelled left, right and centre, I feel, for Coast to Coast. You know, one of the iconic New Zealand sporting events. That looks like it's going to be canned. Super Rugby warm-up games, sounds as though they're being shifted, which is a shame because a lot of those warm-up games are in rural areas like North Otago, or I think the Crusaders have canned their Blenheim game because there's no reason. It's costly to host these games in the rural areas, and if there's no fans, no crowds then allowed, then there's no point in having them, really.
Well, what about the Women's Cricket World Cup? Because that's coming up. I know Crown Robertson said that's still going ahead, but, man, you've got your pinnacle of women's cricket coming here. It's all been, you know, a big build-up. It's obviously been postponed a year, and now you might just be able to have pockets of 100 people there. I mean, that would be hugely disappointing for that tournament if that is the case.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Let's talk about the domestic tournament whilst we're on cricket. Northern Brave have locked up the home final.
Yes, they have.
It's been quite enjoyable, the Super Smash. That Eden Park game on Saturday drew a few. and all the Black Caps are pretty much back now because they've got no other cricket, right? So they've added quite a bit to the competition.
Yeah, it's been excellent. And as Sav says, you've got the Black Caps, but you've also got, I suppose, the glimpse of the next young crop coming through. And I think there's a few question marks over, you know, when the likes of, whenever it might be, you know, Taylor, Williamson, Bolt, Southee, when those guys move on, who is the next crop coming through? And I think we're seeing that a little bit. Glimpses of that, you know, someone like Cam Fletcher, who's the Canterbury wicketkeeper, I think has got quite a big future in New Zealand cricket at the moment, and he's one of a few players who have put his case forward throughout this. I think it's better than the Big Bash, and we wouldn't have said that a few years ago. The Big Bash was this rocking big machine that couldn't be stopped. We're getting massive crowds all across Australia. Now they barely get anyone along, and I know the crowds at the Super Smash aren't huge, but from what I can see on social media and that sort of thing, people are watching it and people are enjoying it.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of them. I'm very thrifty, as you know. So I won't pay for it. When it's on free to wear. Well, I don't know.
That's probably obviously why you enjoyed the Black Clash so much. And Guy, fantastic coverage, because it was free.
I saw you pick the ball up there, Guy, on the boundary. I thought, there you are. Look, there's a sports reporter who can actually hold a cricket ball.
Well, at one stage, I actually was talking to my floor manager about what we were doing next, and I wasn't watching the game. The next thing I hear, about a foot away from me, I just hear this massive thud, and Will Jordan had played a pull shot right down to me, and if it had been a foot to the left or a foot to the right, I might have been in a little bit of pain, Tim. So, glad I was watching the ball for the rest of the occasion, I can tell you that.
Wasn't Will Jordan great to watch as well?
Yeah, good. Yeah.
One of those kids you go to high school with that's just good at everything. Clearly an outstanding footballer. But then he picks up a cricket bat, and I think he was a pretty good cricketer for Boys High in Christchurch from memory. And he was, gee whiz, he wouldn't look out of place in a provincial cricket team, at least.
What about Tommy Walsh? We knew Tom Walsh was good at cricket. He used to play it back in the day. Man, he can give it a hit, can't he? Outstanding. Yeah.
Would it be unkind of me to say I thought that he would be the keeper?
Well, when you've got
he was actually quite agile in the field. He was throwing himself around.
Yeah. Can we talk about the X Games? Because some of our, I almost said kids, and somebody will send me a rude text if I use that term.
Well, but, they sort of are.
Oh, they're brilliant. They're just
they are
amazing. And that 1080, I didn't understand what a 1080 was until I saw it. And the backside 1260, explain that, that Zoe Sadowski-Sinnott pulled off. An amazing piece of, I mean, what has she got? She got a jetpack under her kit there.
I think you might be asking the wrong two people to try and explain what a backside 1260 is, Tim, I've got to be honest. But what they managed to do through the year is remarkable, isn't it? And on a broader scale, leading into the Winter Olympics, obviously, this would have to be the strongest position New Zealand's ever been in heading into a Winter Olympics. And if you look, what, 12 years ago, probably, you know, they'd go there with the Wells brothers as medal hopefuls. And now, crikey, you'd need almost two hands to count the medal hopefuls for New Zealand this year. It's that exciting. So, yeah, Zoe Sadowski-Sinnott, Nico Porteous, Alice Robinson, just to name a few of potential Kiwis who could possibly win medals this year.
Well, I think
we've won. What have we won in history? Three Winter Olympic medals. They'll double that, at least.
Yeah,
in the coming weeks. Look, Tim, to put it in layperson's terms, a 1080 is three revolutions.
Three turns in the air.
Here we go.
So if you add a half revolution at 180, 1080 plus 180 equals 1260, doesn't it?
Yeah. That was the going the right, other way round, isn't it?
Yeah, the backside part is obviously, guys, simply, I'll explain it simply for you. The backside part means it's done in reverse and you land on your backside. I think.
I don't know how they get that much air. I mean, they call it big air.
No, I know.
Don't they?
Yeah, it's the amount of training that must go into it. And you'd see, you know, they're trampolining all the time and they're diving into foam pits and. Guy mentioned the Wells brothers' names there, and they've got a lot to do with this because they were sort of the pioneers, and all these kids have come through watching and admiring them and being coached by them, a lot of them. And there's just no fear. The only issue, I suppose, is that, yes, Zoe Sadowski-Sinnott won two golds at the X Games, and there's a lot of glory and hopefully endorsements for her in that. But you make a minor mistake and it can all go horribly wrong. And so, yes, she's probably the gold medal favourite for Beijing, but it's a sport that you've got to get exactly right, don't you?
Yeah, I don't think anyone had done that particular
combo
in competition. They might have had a go at the end of a training session. Oh, let's see how it turns out. But never in competition before. It was just spectacular to watch. The Australian Open without Djokovic. Are you satisfied with it, guys? Are you getting the thrills you expect?
I am. I was pleased to see the back of him, actually. I just thought all along, Tim, that wasn't the original call that if you weren't vaccinated, you couldn't play at the Australian Open. Simple as that.
Yeah.
He won't play in France at the French Open. The Americans probably won't let him in for the US Open, so he's in a bit of difficulty here. I've thoroughly enjoyed the tournament. I mean, last night Ash Barty, who does not get the credit she deserves as world number one, the Aussie, Anna Samova, the young American, threw everything at her, and Ash Barty didn't flinch. She's through to the next round. She looks in outstanding form. Hopefully, she wins her home Open and gets some credit she deserves. And then on the men's side, you've got Rafa. Rejuvenated.
Yeah, I think Rafa might have a bit of a tough task against Daniel Medvedev. He has been absolutely outstanding. So yes. I think they come together before the final, those two.
Well, he's got Shapovalov, who was an outstanding junior and is now starting to realise some of that potential. So that'll be tricky as well.
And the story about the lawsuit, the $6 million lawsuit's been denied.
Well, hopefully it doesn't happen. I mean, he's just got to get on with it. I mean, this is his decision. They knew the rules, and he's already seemed to be, well, judging by the courts, he lied in a couple of things or didn't do the right thing in a couple of things. So just move on, Novak. Get your jab and hurry up and get back to tennis.
I don't think he needs the $6 million.
What I thought was, you know, very, very cocky and arrogant. But then, you know, what you expect from a world number one tennis player, if not cockiness and arrogance, that he was actually suing for the money that he decided he'd already won even before the tournament had started.
Oh, yeah, the prize money. Yeah, that is strange. But then this is Djokovic. And if he decides to drag it on more and more, and if he's not allowed into these other Grand Slams, you know, his legacy is taking a hit. His legacy is certainly taking a hit.
Hey, Tim, the other one out of the tennis that we need to watch is Michael Venus in the doubles, and he and his partner are playing against Nick Kyrgios and Thanasi Kokkinakis in the next round, the two Aussies who are just drawing massive crowds and huge support. So I think that one should be live on TV in New Zealand, and I suspect that'll probably be the one of the biggest crowds that Venus, one of the more rowdy crowds that Venus has played in front of. So strap yourselves in for that one. I suspect it'll be a bit of fun.
Thank you both so much. Guy Havelt and Andrew Saville with the Monday morning commentary box.